Okay, we're up to the beginning of the Hallel, which we say before Shulchan Aruch, before the Suda. Hallel at the Seder is a little out of the ordinary. We break up the Hallel in the middle. We don't say a bracha on the Hallel. We say Hallel at night. All of these things are out of the ordinary. So many Sfarim explain that the Hallel at the Seder is not a regular Hallel of an ordinary Yom Tov. Rather, it's a Hallel of Shira, of bursting forth in song to Hashem. And this is the flow in the Haggadah. It says, B'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, a person has to view himself as if he left Mitzrayim. Lefichach, therefore, he's chayev l'hodos. It's as if I'm leaving Mitzrayim tonight. B'nei Yisrael sang Shira when they left Mitzrayim, so we're singing Shira as well. We're singing Shira. It's a spontaneous response to experiencing the Shechina. And that's why it doesn't have the ordinary rules of Hallel. This idea the Rav Zatzal developed. I also found Yibadu L'chaim in the writings of Rav Mirsky, in the Hagyoni Haggadah, this idea that the Hallel at the Seder doesn't have the ordinary rules because it's a spontaneous Hallel. It's like you're bursting forth in song. Okay. So the Hallel begins. In the second paragraph, we say, B'tzeso Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'am Loes. When Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim, when Yaakov's house left of people of an alien tongue. It's another way of saying from the foreign nation, from Mitzrayim. But the language Loes, the word La'az, has another meaning. La'az is when you start a rumor about someone. Some sort of negative rumor that this person did Averas or things like that. Motzi Laz, you start a rumor about someone, a libel rumor, so that's called a Laz. So the Gra explains the following idea. When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Hashem took the women of the Benos Yisrael out of the Laz of Mitzrayim. There was a Laz, there was this vicious rumor going around that the Jewish women in Mitzrayim were Mizana. Their husbands were away, they were unfaithful to their husbands. Their husbands were away at the fields the whole day and most of the night. And maybe the women, were involved in inappropriate behavior. So what did Hashem do? In the Torah, when Hashem lists the when the Torah lists the families of the Jews that left Mitzrayim, so Hashem adds a hey or a yud to the names. Like Lifalu Mishpachas Hapalu'i. That's a yud. A yud and a hey. The hey at the beginning and a yud at the end. When you go through, you'll see when the Torah mentions a name, so normally mentions a hey at the beginning and a yud at the end. That's Hashem's name. So Hashem put his name on the families of Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. That shows the Shechina. The Shechina is resting on the family, and that's testimony that this person is really the father. And there was no znus. And if someone was from the family of Palu, then really he was from that family. So this is the pshat me'am loes from the la'az that the women could have suffered at the hands of the goyim, at the hands of the mitzrim. Hashem freed them from that as well. It's a beautiful pshat. Next we have the bracha of Asher Golanu. In Asher Golanu, again we mention, interesting, smeichim bevinyani recha. As we're discussing that we want Hashem to bring the Geula, we mention Smeichim Bevinyani Recha, the building of Yerushalayim, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we saw this earlier, that Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to lead into Matan Torah, and Matan Torah leads into the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, as the Ramban explains. According to the Ramban, mentioning Binyani Recha and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is a logical extension of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Okay? Then we have the mitzvah of matzah, of maror, of korech. And then we have Shulchan Aruch. We discussed Shulchan Aruch already. According to the Netziv, the Suda at the Seder is a special Sudas Hoda'ah. It's not just a regular Sudas Yom Tov, of Simchas Yom Tov, it's Sudas Hoda'ah. Thank you, Hashem, you took us out of Mitzrayim. We're praising you. Because now that we're Ovdei Hashem, even our eating can be a mitzvah. We can achieve Olam Haba even through our eating. Tanuge Olam Haza. from enjoying Olam Haza, we can achieve Olam Haba. It's an incredible gift. And that should be the kavana we have during Shulchan Aruch. And then Tziv explains, that's why we start the challah before the meal and end the challah after the meal. So the meal becomes part of the challah, part of praising Hashem. Oh. There's a very old custom, it's mentioned in the Rama already, to eat eggs at the meal. And it's interesting, we eat the eggs right away at the beginning of the meal. That's the custom. So why do we eat eggs? So the Rama gives a pshat that we eat eggs. Zecher la'aveilus. The first night of Tisha B'Av, the first night of Pesach, is always the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. An egg is a symbol of aveilus. An egg is round. That's always a symbol of aveilus. Aveilus means a person's life begins, a person's life ends. Full circle. So the egg is a symbol of aveilus. So at the Seder, although we're happy, we're celebrating the Geula from Mitzrayim, but it's not the full Geula. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they put in a remez to the Aveilus that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Oh, it's interesting. Why do we eat the egg first? So some of the Sfarim explain, right before Shulchan Aruch is Korech. We eat the sandwich. And Korech is eaten, it says, Zecher leMikdash keHillel. It's a Zecher, it's a remembrance of what Hillel did b'zman the Beis HaMikdash. So we just finished talking about what Hillel did at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We just reminded ourselves that nowadays we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so it's a very natural continuation to eat the egg right away. The egg is a symbol of Aveilus, a symbol of that we're still in Galus. So it fits beautifully that the custom is to eat the egg at the beginning of the meal. Well, the Ishbitzer says another pshat with the egg, and this gets back to the theme we've been mentioning over and over again, that Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to lead up to Matan Torah. An egg is an interesting phenomenon. Basically, with an egg is in a sense born twice. First the egg is laid, comes out of the mother, and then later, it hatches and the chicken comes out. Now the goal is to get the chick that comes out at the end. But it's a two-stage process. First the egg comes out, and then later the chicken is born. The chick is born. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Yetzias Mitzrayim is step one. Matan Torah is the goal, is step two. So the egg is a very beautiful symbol of Yetzias Mitzrayim leading up to Matan Torah. First it comes out, and then later, the main thing, the chick is born. It's a beautiful shot of the Ishbitzer, why there is a custom to the eggs at the Seder. And again, it reminds us the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. Oh. Then we have benching. And after benching, we start the second half of Hallel at the Seder. After the Suda, we say or we sing the second half of Hallel. The standard approach to the Hallel is that in the first part of the Hallel, we're discussing the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in the second part of Hallel, we are referring to the Geula Ha'asida. This is what many Mefarshim on the Haggadah say. And this explains a few things. This explains why the minig is for most people that they pour the kosher aliyah at this point in the Seder. Some pour it before the benching, or at the time here of the benching, as we're about to enter the second half of the Seder, the Haggadah, that refers to the Geula Hasida. Eliyahu Navi is always mentioned. He will help announce and pronounce the Geula Hasida. This also explains the paragraph of Shvoch HaMascha. We say Shvoch HaMascha right before the second Hallel, and this is explained as follows. This is in the Kol Doji Haggadah. We do this now because we are about to resume Hallel with Loganu, which refers to the Chevli Mashiach and the War of Gog and Magog. And that refers to the Gula Hasida. The cup of Eliyahu stands on the table to symbolize our faithful trust that just as Hashem redeemed us from our exile in Egypt, He will send Eliyahu Anavi with the tidings that He will redeem us from our present exile. May it happen speedily within our days. Amen. He's quoting there from the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Taf Pei, Sif Katan Yud. So that's the theme of the second half of Hallel at the Seder. Okay, we'll discuss that more at Bezrat Hashem as we continue. There's a comment of the Baal Amor, which my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita likes to point out. The Baal Amor says that the Ikar Hallel at the Seder is the second half of Hallel, because now we've eaten. Nefesh Seveya V'keres Meleya. When a person's full, he's able to thank Hashem even more. Rav Shechter points out that this Baal Amor is referring to a Mishnah and a Gemara in Maseches Tainus. The Gemara there is discussing that the Jews were fasting because there was no rain. And then it began to rain. So the Mishnah says they don't eat right. They don't say Hallel right away. First they go home and they eat. And then they come back and they say Hallel, thanking Hashem for the rain that came. What's the idea? So the Gemara explains that to say Hallel, when you have a nefesh seveya v'keres meleya, when you're full, is a different type of Hallel. So the Baal Amor quotes that lashon of the Gemara regarding saying Hallel, Hallel HaGadol, before they first breaking their fast, then saying Hallel, and he quotes it here regarding the second half Hallel at the Seder. So it's actually important to try to single out the second half of Hallel. This is really the Ikar Hallel, because now you've eaten, and it's basically a half a sentence in the Baal Amor, which Rav Shechter really brought to life and brings to life with his explanation. We saw earlier in the Netziv that the Hallel is split up so that the meal is sandwiched in between the two halves of the Hallel. Okay, so now we start the Hallel. We get to in the paragraph of Ma'ashiv Lashem, there is a fabulous comment of the Netziv, and the background is as follows. There are two types of karbanos that we eat. There is a karban toda and a karban shlamim. A karban shlamim is brought, in general, when life is good. A karban toda is brought when you have a specific thing to thank Hashem for. You were in trouble, Hashem saved you, some sort of miracle. That's a karban toda. Now, there are two differences between the karbanos. A karban toda, a karban shlamim, you have 2 days and one night to eat it. Let's say you offer a karban on Thursday. You can eat the karban on Thursday night, and Friday. A karban toda is only one day and the following night. Let's say Thursday night. The other difference is, a karban toda is brought together with 40 chalos, 40 loaves. 30 are matzah loaves, and 10 are chametz loaves. A lot of food to eat. So it's striking. A karban toda has more food and less time to eat it in. What's the pshat? So the Netziv writes in the Hamak Davar in Parshas Tzav, in Vayikra, that the idea is to make a Sudas Hoda'ah. There's a halacha of Nosar. You're not allowed to leave over food from a karban. So if I offer a karban toda, I have to find a way in two meals to finish everything. How do I do that? I'm basically halachically forced to invite my friends. And my friends are there at the Suda. And what happens? I talk about the miracle, and I thank Hashem. This is a Sudas Hodah. Every Karban Toda becomes a Sudas Hodah. And that's why you have less time to eat it with much more food. And the Netziv says, there in his Perush, in the Herchev Dover at the bottom of the page, that this is the Pshat in this Perek of Tehillim. The Perek says, L'choz bach zevach toda. I'm going to offer a Karban Toda. That's what the last three psukim are talking about in this parak of Til Moshiv Lashem. And the Netziv points out as follows. It's like a poem. The first half of these psukim refer to offering the Karban Toda, and the second half of each of these psukim refers to the celebration at the Su'uda, at the Suda Sota. L'choz bach zevach toda,
is the karban. Uveshem Hashem Ekra, when do you cry out to Hashem? At the Suda. Thank you, Hashem, for the miracle you did for me. Nidarai Hashem Hashalim, when I offer the karban, I'm paying off my vow to Hashem to offer the karban. Negda no lecholamo, in front of all the people. The Nitziv says, we don't normally talk about doing mitzvos dafka in public. A Jew does mitzvos between him and Hashem. But a Suda's Hodah is specifically supposed to be in public. So that phrase, Negda no lecholamo, refers to the Suda's Hodah. And the last pasuk, B'chatzros Beis Hashem, you offer the karban in the Beis HaMikdash. V'solcheicha Yerushalayim, but the karban Torah can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. A beautiful pshat of the Nitziv. The last three psukim of Moshe Yibu Hashem refer to the karban Torah with the accompanying Sudas Hoda. Oh. The next parak of Tehillim, Haluos Hashem Kol Goyim, Shabchu kol ha'umim, ki gavar aleinu chasdo. Fascinating. The pasuk says, all the nations will praise Hashem because Hashem's kindness has overwhelmed us, Bnei Yisrael. You get the impression that the goyim will be praising Hashem a lot when Hashem redeems and brings the geula to Bnei Yisrael. Why? Why are the Goyim going to be praising Hashem more than us, or first? It's a very interesting pasuk. So various Mefarshim say, and Rav Soloveitchik would say this over, the following idea. There is one aspect that when Hashem brings the Geula, the Goyim will be able to praise Hashem even more than Bnei Yisrael. Why? Bnei Yisrael, we know about all the times Hashem saved us. We were in danger, Hashem saved us. But we don't know about the times that Hashem thwarted the Goyim's plans before we knew about the plans. We didn't even know we were in danger. The Goyim may have been planning some terrible, terrible pogrom or something, and before the plans got off the ground, Hashem stopped it. So when the Geula comes and the Goyim see the emes, they're going to say, oh, they appreciate, they'll see, wow, Hashem was saving Bnei Yisrael all the time. Because they know all the bad things they planned against us. It's a beautiful pshat. Many years ago, I learned in Yeshiva Shalavim. And many, in Israel, many celebrate Yom Yerushalayim on Kaf Ches Iyar. In Shalavim, you know, that's the celebration for the victory of the Six-Day War. In Shalavim, they celebrate Yom Shalavim on the day before, Kav Zayinir. Why? Because during the Six-Day War, Shalavim at that time was on the border with Jordan. And during the Six-Day War, they discovered plans on the Jordan side to go wipe out Shalavim house by house, Rachmana Litzlan. So therefore, the people in Shalavim have this additional aspect of thanking Hashem. They were personally saved during the Six-Day War. Now, had they not discovered those plans, they never would have known. That's exactly this idea. There must be many, many times in Jewish history where the Goyim had plans, and the plans were thwarted before they rose to the level of our awareness. And that might be the pshat, that the Goyim will praise Hashem even before, even more, maybe, than Bnei Yisrael. Oh, we continue in the Hallel, and we say the long Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, that's called Hallel HaGadol, followed by Nishmas. What exactly is the point of saying Hallel HaGadol, of Hallel HaGadol, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, and Nishmas? So here we have a very, very important idea, a major theme of the Seder. If you read Nishmas, in Nishmas we thank Hashem, a one-word explanation, for what? For everything. Everything He's done for us. We say in Nishmas, even if our mouths were full of praises, it won't be enough to thank Hashem. We have to thank Hashem for everything He's done for us. Mi Mitzrayim Gyaltanu, Mi Beis Avim Pitisanu, Mi Rav Zantanu, Mi Savakel Kaltanu, Mi Cherev Hitzaltanu. Hashem's always, always saving us. All the time. Oh, what's the idea? The idea is, and when Hashem saves us, there's Neis Nigla and there's Neis Nister. Most of the time when Hashem saves us, it's Bederach Neis Nister in a natural way. The theme of Nishmas is that Hashem is constantly helping us and constantly providing for Bnei Yisrael. And again, the primary way is done without miracles, Bederach Neis Nister. This is a major theme of the second half of the Seder. In the first half of the Seder, the focus was Neis Nigla. In the second half of the Seder, we mention Neis Nigla, but a major focus becomes Neis Nister, the hidden miracles. And this fits well with the Halul HaGadol, the long Hodul Hashem Kitov. In that Hodul Hashem Kitov, we discuss Hashem is Rokaratz Alamayim, that the land is on, that we have the land and the water. Osa Orim Gedolim, Hashem provides light for the world. Nosem Lechem Uchol Basar, provides food for everyone. That's thanking Hashem for the Teva as well. And that's why, and this fits very well, the Mishnah says in Tainus that when we're davening for rain, and it rains, we eat, that we explained before, and then after we eat, we say this Halo HaGadol. The Gemara refers to the long Hodul Hashem Kitov as the Halel HaGadol. Why this? Because this Halo HaGadol refers to Teva as well. And we're thanking Hashem that it rained, and that's Teva. What exactly is the role of the idea behind thanking Hashem for Neis Nister here in the second half of Halel at the Seder? So it's actually based on the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. The Ramban explains over there that we believe all of nature is really one big Neis Nister from Hashem. When the sun rises in the morning, that's because the earth spins on its axis. And why does the earth spin on its axis? Because of the laws of gravity. And why do the laws of gravity work? Because Hashem is willing them to work. Hashem wants them to work. All of nature is one big Neis Nister from Hashem. There's a fabulous gematria. HaTeva is 86. And Elokim, again, switch the kuf for a hey, is 86 as well. All of Teva is really one big Neis Nister from Hashem. We don't always notice it. But the Ramban explains, when you see a Neis Nigla, when Hashem does something supernatural and changes the laws of nature, then we appreciate, oh, if Hashem can change the laws of nature, that means Hashem controls nature. That means when nature runs naturally, it's all a miracle from Hashem. So when you experience Neis Nigla, supernatural events, you're inspired to notice that all of Teva is really one big Neis Nister from Hashem. And that's exactly what happens at the Seder. In the first half of Magid and the first half of Hallel, we focus on Neis Nigla, and then we say, now that we've experienced Neis Nigla, we have to thank Hashem for everything in our lives, all of Neis Nister as well. And this fits very well, this dovetails well, with the standard pshat of the second half of Halel at the Seder. The standard pshat is that it's about the Gula Hasida. Exactly. How does Am Yisrael survive as a nation in order to make it until the Gula Hasida? Mostly with Neis Nister. Hashem is helping us. Hashem is helping us. Hashem is with us. We don't experience supernatural events too often. In our long history, in Golus, we're surviving mostly B'derech Neis Nister. And so our survival until the Gula Asida, which is one theme of the second half Halel of the Seder, is done primarily through Neis Nister, which is the other theme of the second half Halel at the Seder. And this Yesod is really a major theme of the Seder we have to impart to our children. Hashem controls world events. Everything's from Hashem. That's something that we learned at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything is governed by Hashem. Neis Nigla and Neis Nister. Okay. We complete the Halel and we drink the fourth cup of wine. And here, there is a fabulous and really very straightforward vort I heard from Rav Daniel Lander Shlita, which is as follows. We've been saying over and over again, one main theme at the Seder is that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. We know we have four cups of wine at the Seder. Why four? So Chazal bring various hints to the four cups. One of them is the four Lashonos of Geula. The Rashbam, in the beginning of the last parak of Pesachim, quotes this from the Yerushalmi. The four languages of Geula. Votsesi v'itzalti v'go'alti v'lokachti. So the four cups of wine are mitzvah derabanan. But they're connected. They're based on the four words in the Torah of Geula. Now the fourth word, v'lokachti, if you look in the Chumash there in Shmos, the Ramban explains that v'lokachti refers to Matan Torah. The Ramban says, this is amazing, the Ramban says that v'lokachti there in the Chumash and Shmos refers to Matan Torah. And therefore, if you put two and two together, the four cups of wine at the Seder are based on the four Lashonos of Geula. And the Ramban says that v'lokachti refers to Matan Torah. Therefore, the fourth cup of wine at the Seder is connected to Matan Torah. It comes out that there's a very powerful connection between Matan Torah and the Seder here at the fourth cup of wine. Beautiful. Rav Lander pointed this out, and I think it's a beautiful, beautiful pshat to say over at the Seder. As drinking the fourth cup, you're thinking about, you can talk about Matan Torah at the Seder. After the fourth cup, we have Nirtza. This is the last section of the Seder. What is Nirtza all about? So there are two standard approaches to what the point of Nirtza is. Number one, the various tfilos and songs we say during Nirtza fit with this theme of the second half of Hallel at the Seder, the Gula Hasida. Many of the comments in Nirtza, many of the tfilos in Nirtza refer to the Gula Hasida. So that's one way that Nirtza fits here in the Seder. Number two, there's a halacha, and it's worth learning this halacha, that a person is obligated, after the Seder is over, to keep on discussing Yetzias Mitzrayim, the halachos and the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, until sleep overtakes him. This is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tuf Pei Aleph, Seif Beis, and it's based on a Tosefta. It's a real din. The Achronim point out that on Shavuos night, where there's no real early source for staying up the whole night, the minig is, all of Am Yisrael tries, many people stay up the whole night. And on Pesach, when there's a real din, Tosefta, Shulchan Aruch, to stay up the whole night, many don't do it. Now, you might be very tired, because you don't, so it doesn't mean you stay up the whole night. It means you're supposed to, the Seder's over, help your family clean up, and then sit down and go, keep on going. You might fall asleep quickly, okay. But still, you're supposed to keep on going. So Nirtza is a kiyum of that idea. Even after we finished the Seder, we finished the four cups, we finished Yivat Yisrael, we finished Hallel, we're done, we keep on going, we add more, so that in that way, everyone has a kiyum of this idea of to continue talking after the basic Sipur is over, and that's what Nirtza really is all about. Those are the two standard pshatim in Nirtza. Now just a few comments about the tfilos in Nirtza. First of all, we sing Lashon HaBa B'Yushalayim. Again, this fits with the theme of the second half Hallel of the Seder, talking about the Gula Ha'asid. Okay. Then we say the tfilah of Vayhi B'Chatzi HaLaila. If you go through this tefillah, basically this tefillah is our list of nisim, nisim gluyim, nisim bistarim, events that happened to Bnei Yisrael throughout our history, culminating in the Gula Hasida. So this is exactly the theme of Nirtza. We have a long history, and our tefillah is that at the end of our long history, we're davening for the Gula Hasida. So that's the basic theme of Vayhi B'Chatzi HaLaila. Okay. Next we have the tefillah of the song, Ki Lo Noeh, Ki Lo Yoeh. To him praise is due, to him praise is fitting. So here, the simple pshat is the pshat of the Malbim, of the Abarbanel. This is a general praise of Hashem's greatness. During Yetzias Mitzrayim, we saw that everything comes from Hashem. That praise and malchus is all from Hashem. So we praise Him accordingly. We are recognizing and appreciating Hashem's greatness is also part of the appropriate praise of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's what we're doing, praising Hashem. The Mefarshim don't find a strong connection here between this tefillah. The standard Mefarshim don't find a strong connection between this tefillah and the Gula Asidah. Rather, it's praising Hashem, as we discussed from the Abarbanel, His Malchus and His greatness. Now, we say the phrase, L'cha u'l'cha, l'cha ki l'cha, l'cha af l'cha, l'cha shamam hamamlecha. We say the word l'cha 7 times. The Abarbanel gives 2 pshatim. Why 7? Number 1, the 7 is a reference to the 7 days of the week, meaning Hashem controls the entire Bria. Every aspect of the natural world, all 7 days of the week, from the beginning to the end, Hashem controls. That's our praise of Hashem. That's why we say l'cha 7 times. He gives another pshat. The Gemara says in Chagiga that there are 7 heavens up in Shemayim, 7 levels of the heavens. So when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Hashem in a sense came down through the 7 heavens to be Goel, to take us out of Mitzrayim. So as a remez to those 7 heavens that Hashem came down in a sense to save us, we mention L'cha 7 times. Next we have the song of Adir Hu, Yivne Beiso B'Karov. Again, the Pashup Shot is, it's a reference to the Gula Hasidah. That's what it talks about. This is the theme of the second half of Halal to say there, the Gula Hasidah. There is a beautiful vort in the Maisa Nisim Haggadah of the Nesivos. And he points out that if you go through it, and when you see it jumps out at you. Most of the praises of Hashem in Adir Hu are kim'at, almost word for word, the same as the praises in Adir B'Mucha. Not exactly, but Adir, Bachur, Dagul, Hadur, Vasik, Zakai, they're not all the same, but they line up almost perfectly. There's clearly a parallel between the two tefillos, the two songs. He says the very pashup shot in Adir B'Mlucha, we're praising Hashem for all of the ways He showed His greatness in the past, in the Gula from Mitzrayim. And now we're saying all of those same qualities which Hashem showed us in the past, we also are davening He should show us to them in the future as well, by the Gula Hasidah. It's beautiful. So Adir B'Mlucha is praising Hashem for what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Adir Hu is davening Hashem and praising Hashem for what will be happening at the Gula Hasidah. And the praises are very, very parallel. It's a beautiful pshat in the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. Then, of course, we have Echad Miyodea. What is the idea of Echad Miyodea? So the standard pshat which the Mefarshim give, when I say the standard pshat, I'm quoting from the Sefer HaSeder HaAruch. It's a 3-volume set on the Haggadah, and it's a likut. Gathers all the makaros on the Haggadah. It's a fabulous work. So he quotes there, that Echad Miyodea is mentioning all of the things, all of the various zechuyos which Am Yisrael had, and that which we were zocher for the Geula from Mitzrayim. And we're davening that those same things will be zechuyos for us to be zocher to the Geula Hasidah in the future. We had Emunah B'Hashem, We were mekabel the Torah. We have the schus avos, the schus imos, etc. That's the pashut pshat. It's a list of the various qualities and zechuyos that we have. And these zechuyos helped us in the past. And we hope that also, Bezrat Hashem, we're davening, that they will help us in the future, as well. Oh. Then, there's a beautiful pshat they quote from the first Belzer Rebbe. He says as follows, Nichnes yayin yotzeh sod. When a person drinks, loosens up a little, and then the truth comes out. Whatever you're thinking on the inside, you have any secrets, if you get drunk, you start sharing your secrets with other people. The gematria of yayin is 70, sod is also 70. This is a topic which is discussed often Purim time. So here, you've drunk 4 cups of wine at the Seder. Person drinks a little, maybe a little drunk. So then, what do? You show off your possessions, whatever you have. Oh, I have this, you start talking about what you have. And that's what Am Yisrael does. After we've drunk 4 cups of wine, we're mefarsim all of the treasures that we have. Emuna, the Torah, the Avos, the Imos. Beautiful pshat. That's what the Jewish people do. When the Jewish people are a little drunk in a sense, and they're going to reveal what are our treasures? What do we talk about? What's in our storehouses? All of these wonderful qualities in the Echad Mi Yodea. Beautiful pshat from the Belzer Rebbe. And finally, we end Magid, we end the Seder with Chag Gadya. Oh, there are 2 standard pshatim in the Chag Gadya. One pshat is, it's teaching a scharva onesh, that you do something wrong and you get punished. And that's a major lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem, we believe in Hashem, Hashem does miracles, Hashem does scharva onesh. The Rabban talks about this in Parshas Bo. That's one of the major lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the idea of scharva onesh. So that's the theme of Chag Gadya, that each thing that does something wrong, in a sense, gets punished by something else, and ultimately it all goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's one shot of Chag Gadya. Oh, most of the Mefarshim say a different shot. Most of the Mefarshim say that Chag Gadya is a reference to Jewish history, culminating in the Gula Hasida, when Hashem will bring the Mashiach. And here there are 2 approaches. Most of the Mefarshim say that the Gedi, the kid, the baby goat, is Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael is one small nation among the 70 nations. And the other nations, they try to attack us, and we're in Gullus, and we're in trouble. And each nation attacks the other nation until the Malach HaMavis will come. The Malach HaMavis symbolizes the most powerful guy, and that's Muhammad Gog Magog. And then, I'm sorry, the Malach HaMavis is a symbol of the most powerful guy, and then Hashem will come, and Muhammad Gog Magog, wipe out the Goyim, and we'll have the Gula Hasida. So that's Chag Gadya. We're the Gedi, and ultimately Hashem will save us by destroying our enemies who have tormented us in our long galus. The Gra also learns that Chag Gadya is a remez to Jewish history, but he explains a little differently. And he holds that each section, each detail of the Chag Gadya, each line in the Chag Gadya refers to something else in history. For example, the Chag Gadya, we say it twice, that refers to the 2 gedim, the 2 goats, which Yaakov brought to Yitzchak. Chazal say it was Leil Pesach. One was the Korban Pesach, one was the Korban Chagiga. And through this, Yaakov was zocha to the brachos and the bechora, which later he passed on to Yosef. Oh, the Shunra, the Gra says, refers to the Shvatim, who were jealous of Yosef, because a cat is known to be a very jealous animal. The kalba refers to Paro, because Rishayim are compared to a kelev. The chutra, the stick, that's the Mata Moshe. Just like a kelev gets hit by a stick, so too Paro was hurt and hit and ultimately destroyed with the Mata, with the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Nura refers to the fire which destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Here the Gra skipped a few thousand years. And then the Maya refers to the Torah, because it was only in the Schus of the Torah that we returned to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah is a reference to Malchus Edom, the Nimshal Lashor, the Romans, Nimshal Lashor, and they tried to destroy us by trying to force to have us forget the Torah. The Shochet is Mashiach ben Yosef, who fights against Edom. The Malach HaMavis refers to the idea that Mashiach ben Yosef will ultimately be killed. Many sources in Chazal say, and finally, Hashem will come and bring the Gula Hasida. That's the Gra's take on Chag Gadya. It refers to Jewish history. And ultimately, Hashem will bring the Gula. Again, these are some highlights of Divrei Torah on Magid, on the Seder. And Be'ezus Hashem, we can use these Divrei Torah to inspire ourselves and inspire our children at the Seder. I just want to close with one more idea and a story. The Lel HaSeder is the Lel HaMasorah. We're passing along the Yesodos and Amunah, the Yesodos and HaHashkafa to the next generation. And if you happen to have, if you have any minhagim in your family that are part of the Seder, you should cherish them and maintain them and daven to Hashem that you and your children and your grandchildren will keep this Masorah as well, of the Halachos and of the Minhagim as well. Minhagim at the Seder are very important. You have a family custom that your grandparents had. Daven to Hashem that your grandchildren will also have that family custom. This idea is always true, but it's especially true at the Seder, which is the Lel HaMasorah for Am Yisrael. There's a beautiful story I heard on a tape once from Avshalom Karabach, Zichrono Livracha, and later I saw it's in one of his books. They published a story, the stories that he told. And the story goes that once the Kalina Rebbe was time to daven, and he said to his Talmidim, "We're not going to daven here, we're going to go to another town to daven." And they got onto the wagon, the Talmidim with the Chassidim with the Kalina Rebbe, and they went to one town, the next town, the next town, the next town. And they said, "Rebbe, is it time?" No, we're not going to daven here, we're not going to daven here." And finally, very far away, it was midnight, and they stopped to daven at a town far away. They had to find a place where they could daven together. They came to an inn, and a very, very old man came out of the inn. The innkeeper was very old. And they asked him, "Can we use your inn? Can we daven on the grounds of your little inn over here?" And he said, "Yes." And these chassidim, when they daven, they're very loud. And they were yelling and davening. And they yelled very loudly and davened very loudly. And the goyim woke up, and they were so impressed by the tefillos that they came down. And they also were saying prayers to their God, and they brought fruits for the Rebbe, and it was a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Everyone was davening together. After the tefillah ended, it was a very special experience. They're about to leave, and as they're leaving, the Kalina Rebbe turned to the innkeeper and said, "Nu, do you have anything to tell me?" And the Rebbe said, and the innkeeper said, "Yes. Today, is my 107th birthday. 100 years ago, the Baal Shem Tov came to this town with his Hasidim to daven. And the same thing happened. Everyone in the town was so impressed. And I was a young boy of 7. And the Baal Shem Tov, as he was about to leave, turned to me and said, he gave me a blessing. He put his hands on my head and gave me a bracha. And he said, "You're going to live a very long life. And when my students come to this town, tell them that I was here before them. And now, 100 years later, you came to the town." That story reflects the Masorah. If we, as individuals and as a nation, can live our lives the way our great-great-great-great-grandparents did, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, we're going to be very successful in our Avodas Hashem. That's the Masorah. That's always true. It's especially true at the Seder. If we can maintain the Masorah of the Halachos and of the Minhagim of our families, and we daven that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren should also have the same Minhagim we have at their Sedarim, that's the Masorah, and that's what Yahadus, and that's what the Seder is all about. Okay, we'll stop here.